My fault. Sorry about that. For those who are live streaming, I apologize. I didn't turn my mic on. But I am pretty loud, so you maybe could hear me. In those 3 years, he spent his time trying to convince those 12 to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, he challenged them to be these kinds of attitudes, attitudes that empty yourself, to purge out the bad, to get rid of the bad and then start filling up on good. And once you fill up on good, I need you to be that salt and I need you to be that light. And he spent those years trying to convince them that he was the Christ and he had a church and he needed them to carry out the mission. Here's the climax of that belief. After all these walk away, he turns to the 12 and he says, "Do you want to leave also?" Verse 68, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" What a moment in Scripture. What a moment in history. We talk about history a lot today, and we see the media making a big deal out of everything going on in our world, but this is as historic as it comes. Peter said, the light bulb has gone off. We know we have nowhere else to turn. You hold the words, the key to eternal life, and we know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. My question to us today is this: do we know that? Do you know that? Do I know that? How easily it is to worship God when things are good, when my belly's full, when my bills are paid, when there are clothes in my closet, when I have a great home and I have all the things I want. Oh God, look how blessed I am. But you let a few things go wrong and a lot of people turn away. A lot of people leave. And in Jesus Christ, turns to his followers, turns to his disciples, and he asks, "Hey, do you want to leave too?" Today, it is my prayer that each of us, with one voice, with a big, enthusiastic yell, say, "We will never leave because you hold the words to eternal life, and we know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Andrew was known for bringing others to Christ. As soon as he met Jesus, he ran to tell his brother Peter the news. Philip also told his brother Nathanael about Jesus. Nathanael also believed to be Bartholomew, asked the question, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" James and John, they were fishermen by trade. They were the sons of Zebedee. Jesus nicknamed them the sons of thunder. James, sometimes called James the Less, because, or perhaps that he was smaller or younger or even quieter than the other James. There was Matthew, who was a tax collector. Perhaps he didn't have a great reputation and he wasn't liked by many. There was Simon the Zealot, quite possibly the most obscure of all the disciples. There was Thaddeus, who we also refer to as Jude. Thomas obviously needed to see the proof of the resurrected Savior before he would truly believe. Then it only leaves two as we go down the list of disciples: Peter and Judas Iscariot. I would say that these two are probably the best known or notorious of all of these 12 men. One accomplished great things for the sake of Christ. the other forsook Christ. These 12 men who Jesus turned to when all others left, they turned to Christ, the one who had the words of eternal life, the one and only Son of the living God. So what did it take? What does it take in today's time? When you, if you want to be distracted, you can be distracted. You want to be confused, you can be confused. You want to be frustrated, you can be frustrated. Just turn on the TV for a little while, get on social media for a little while, listen to the water cooler talk for a little while. You know, if you ain't picked a side politically, and if you haven't picked a side about this group and about a mask and about tearing down a statue and about what color of skin and what all the, if you haven't picked a side, then you're a social outcast right now. I choose the side of Jesus. As Christians, that's our only choice. Lord, to whom shall we go? So what does it take to never walk away? What does it take to follow after the one who holds the words to eternal life? Three things. Number one, we've got to hold on to faith and not fear. I don't know how many weeks we've been back in service, but I've probably mentioned something like this about every week. And folks, I believe this message has to reign true today. We must hold on to faith and not fear. I believe to understand this point best, we've got to compare and contrast the lives of Peter and Judas. I believe they illustrate it best for us. Judas seemed to look out for himself. He wanted money for turning Christ over to the authorities. Peter, at times, also seemed to look out for himself. He, along with others, for instance, in Mark 9, they argued over who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of selfishness in that. Judas obviously did not understand the full purpose of Christ. But you know, I think we could say the same thing about Peter. Even though Peter speaks up here and he says, Lord, we don't have anywhere else to go. You're the Christ. You hold the words of eternal life. He also said in Matthew 16, when others were saying, Jesus said, who am I? And some said, well, you're John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets, Elijah, one of the other prophets. Jesus said, I don't care about them. What do you say? Peter stood up and he said, I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he still didn't fully understand. How do I know that? In Acts 1, verse 7, the apostles asked the Lord there, Peter being one of them, when he returned to heaven, if he would at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel. See, they didn't fully understand. Christ's kingdom was established in Acts 2, but of course he was establishing a heavenly kingdom for all, not an earthly kingdom for the Jews. Jesus went to call Judas, or he did call Judas, a devil. In John chapter 6, verse 70, just a few verses down. But do you remember what was said to Peter in Matthew 16? Jesus was showing his disciples the many things he would suffer there in verse 21. Then in verse 22, Peter took him and he took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. So there you have Peter and Judas. Two different ends. Two disciples, I should say. One who's selfish. The other who at times is selfish. One who didn't fully understand Jesus. Another at times didn't fully understand Jesus. Well, Jesus called Judas a devil. Well, he called Peter Satan. Well, Judas is just way worse. He's way worse. Well, he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. We know that. But you know what Peter did? He denied Him three times with the same mouth that Judas kissed Him with, the same type way. How come? How come then? If these two men were so similar that one became a spokesman for Christ and the other became an enemy of Christ, I suggest to you it's because Peter held on to his faith and Judas held on to fear. Judas, in taking his own life, certainly must have allowed fear of the unknown, fear of what others would do to him, fear of the guilt that would forever haunt him and keep him from becoming a great apostle for the Lord. He let that be his motivation. Could he have turned his life around and gotten right? I am confident he could have. But because of fear, he hung himself. Peter, who was also down, who was also afraid, who was also struggling, at the end of the day, he reached up and he held on to faith. Today, there's so many fears out there. There's so many struggles out there. There's so many concerns out there. There's so many things that we could lure ourselves away from Jesus with. We think we're doing good and we think we're doing well, but we can allow fear and we can allow the world and we can allow culture and we can allow all these things to lure us away. And we can get so bogged down by fear that we get paralyzed. It's that same illustration I gave you a few weeks ago. It's one thing to respect it, but it's another thing to allow it to paralyze us. For instance, if there's a king cobra on this stage, maybe I respect that king cobra, right? I don't go and pet it. I don't go and love on it. I don't go and give it a hug. But it doesn't mean I don't ever go on this stage again. You see, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to cower down as the church. He wants us to go into hiding. He wants us to be afraid. He wants us to be concerned with so many things that are going on. And you can say, well, Terry's talking about the virus. Fill in the blank. You could say, well, Terry's talking about racism. Fill in the blank. You could say, Terry's talking politically. Fill in the blank. What I'm trying to say is, I don't care what it is. We can't let fear lead us and prevail over us. We must hold on to faith. If we're going to be able to never, ever turn away. Secondly, this morning, if I'm going to truly be a disciple who never turns from Jesus Christ, then I've got to listen to the Word and not the world. I want you to go back and look at Christ's words in verses 63 and 64 again. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. I believe that sums it up best. That was 2,000 years ago. Here we are in 2020. Could we not say the same thing? Jesus Christ holds the words to spirit and life. But there are so many who do not believe. There were so many who turned back that day because they held on to the words of the flesh instead of the words of life. The 12 knew that Christ had the words of eternal life that day, according to verse 68. We too have to listen to the words of Christ and not let the world influence us. There are going to be people who ridicule you for your stance in Jesus Christ. I'd love to tell you that will not be the case, but it will. There are going to be people that no matter what decision you make, as long as you base it in love, as long as you base it on Christ, as long as you do the right thing and everything else, they are going to take offense with you. Man, that used to really, really haunt me. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you it still doesn't hurt. But it used to really, really haunt me when I allowed others to manipulate me and say things like, well, my child will never become a Christian because of you. Or, I just want you to know you've caused so much damage to my family. Or to say the words, hey, we hate you. And man, I used to lose a lot of sleep over that. And I'm not saying it doesn't still bother me. But at the end of the day, those are the words of the world. The words of Jesus tell me, I love you. I am the door. I am the sheep. As long as you go through the door, I am the good shepherd. As long as you go through the door and you follow the good shepherd, you as a sheep are going to be okay. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome this world. You see, those are the things that we have to hold on to in times when the world is trying to gobble us up and spit us out. We must hold on to the words of Christ. There's so many false teachings that are going on in the world today. There are so many lies that are being spread and sins that are being allowed. Everywhere you turn, you can find something that will contradict something you believe. And these people will be, for the most part, good people. They're not going to be people that are just awful, some prisoner that's on death row, okay? But we got to know the book. If I'm going to hold on to the words of life, the words of eternal life, then I can't hold on to the words of somebody who doesn't matter in social media world. They matter because they're a soul, but they better not matter to make my soul fall away. Today we must stand against false teaching. We must stand against lies. We must stand against Satan. If we have decided we're going to follow Jesus, then we must follow His Word. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must follow the Word. Why? Because in Him, He holds the words to eternal life. And then finally this morning, how do I not fall away when the mob and the crowd and everybody else says, see you later? How do I remain one of the few? In order to be that true disciple, then I've got to forsake self and not follow self. I know that's a common sense kind of thing, right? And I'm certainly not here to insult anyone's intelligence. The word disciple means follower. And it's obvious that if we're a disciple of Jesus, we're a follower of Him. And we're not following ourselves. If we're here and we're worshiping, well then Terry, you got to understand, I'm following Jesus. I'm not following myself. I understand that, but I need you to turn to Luke chapter 14 real quick. Luke chapter 14. The words of Jesus, beginning in verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Him. You know what they're doing? They're following Him. They were following Jesus. By definition, disciples, follower. These great multitudes are following Jesus. 5,000. You know what they were doing? They were following Jesus. But at the end of the day, who do they follow? Themselves. Verse 25, Luke 14. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate or love less his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not hear or bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You remember when Christ taught his followers, as we just read earlier in John 6, about the bread of life? Remember how they responded? They said, "This is a hard saying." Well, I want you to know that what Jesus said in Luke 14 is not exactly easy. Those are hard sayings. Those are hard words. But you know what Christ did? He called for our total commitment. He said, no matter what this world looks like, no matter whether you're worshiping in your home or you're worshiping in the church building, no matter what society says or society does, no matter who's running the White House, no matter how much money you have or how much money you don't have, he said, unless you forsake all, you can't be my disciple. Why would he say that? Because he knew there were going to be times like 2020s of the world. He knew there were going to be times of distraction. He knew that people would fall in love with the things of this world. You know, but how many of us have been there? And we decided, I've had enough of this world. So we walked this aisle. We confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ. And we go and we get changed and we go behind this wall. We let that screen up and we watch people be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Once we put to death our old self and we're raised to walk in that newness of life, that's when it quit being about me. That's when it better be about Him. So you know what that means? That means every pity party, every time somebody said something ugly about me, again, I'm not saying that those things are good. Those things do hurt. But every time somebody did whatever, and so every time somebody did this and that, and I didn't get my way, well, I want to pack my bags and I want to leave. You know what Jesus said? I believe it hurt him. But he didn't say in John 6, "Please don't leave." He didn't say in Luke 14, "Oh, I'm sorry, those words were a little harsh." In fact, he turned to the 12 in John 6 and he says, "Y'all want to go too?" You see, folks, he loves us. He doesn't want anybody to leave. But he will allow it. I believe it breaks his heart. But we have that freedom. That freedom to choose. So will I forsake myself and follow after the Savior? Or will I forsake the Savior and follow after myself? in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've got to lay it all down at His feet and become a living sacrifice. So we got to hold on to our faith. We've got to listen to His Word. And we've got to get rid of ourselves. Lord, to whom shall we go? Today, I want to ask You to turn to our Savior the way those disciples did. Even though the majority may turn away, I want You, God wants You, more importantly, to turn to Him. Today, if you've allowed things to distract you, maybe you can respond right there in your seat, but maybe publicly you need to walk this aisle. Maybe today you want to become a child of the King. Maybe you're at home and you say, hey, I want to be a child of the King. We'll make it happen. Or maybe you need to call somebody or you need to message somebody and say, hey, I need your prayers. In this day and time, we need Jesus now more than ever. So what are we going to do? I encourage us to hold on to the One who has the words of life. If you have a need, come right now together. We stand and sing.